Reading Aaron, for opportunity that we now have to turn our attention to God's Word. We're grateful to Him. I invite you to Bible and join us as we study together from God's Word. It may be that this morning things are not right in your life before God. It's God's Word that will reveal that if we're willing to examine ourselves in the light of truth, and if we're willing to let in turn God's Word correct us. Well, inspired Scripture is profitable to teach us, to reprove us, and to correct us in righteousness. So God's inspired Word will achieve its purpose, do its work, that we may be made complete in Christ, as the verse in Colossians 1 just stated. But we have to be willing to let it do its work, to let it do its work in our hearts and in our lives. And so we encourage that of each one of us this morning to carefully consider God's Word together in these things that we've prepared today. And if you find that you need to make things right in your life with God, we hope you use this opportunity that you have today. You don't have an assurance of another chance, but today, to make things right between you and your God, and to, from this moment forward, to walk in truth and righteousness. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. You need to, in faith, repent of your sins and confess your faith and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. As God's people, He says, when we sin, in fact, He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A humble heart willing to examine ourselves, whether we're in the faith, to confess sin to Him with repentance of heart, He has assured then the cleansing from the blood of Jesus. So we encourage and invite and urge a response to the gospel of Jesus after these comments are concluded this morning. You know, God is concerned about our completeness. We have on the chart that Jesus is complete, but as we think about that, and we'll look at it from Colossians some, we should remember that God is concerned about us being complete. God created the world and He saw it was very good. The first thing He saw that was not good was that man was alone. Man was incomplete, and so He created woman from the bone, the rib of man, and man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And so He was now complete. They were now one flesh as God presented the woman to the man, and as they are now husband and wife, there was a completeness there. God's concerned about completeness. Everything that we think about when we look at God and see what God has done, what He has accomplished, what He is accomplishing, what He will accomplish, all of this is full, it's whole, it's complete. There's nothing lacking in the things of God. And so, we of course see that Jesus is complete in the book of Colossians. But now, what we particularly want to focus on is that God is especially concerned about our spiritual completeness. Are you complete spiritually? Or is there a hole in your life? You can answer that. I can't answer that for you. But each of us can look at ourselves. And you know, sometimes you look at yourself, hopefully we examine ourselves and we say, things are just incomplete. Things are not right. Things are not what they ought to be. Well, if you have that assessment, you know, there's several different ways we can deal with that. One is we can ignore it, but that's not dealing with it at all. Another way is we can think that we have the answer ourselves, and we've got the fix within ourselves. Jeremiah said the way of man is not in himself. It's not a man who walks to direct his own steps. We need some guidance from God that we can't give ourselves. So if there is something lacking spiritually in your life, know that you're not the source of power and knowledge and capability and grace and mercy that's going to solve that for yourself. You need to go to God. In that passage that Aaron read for us, First Colossians 1 and 29, Paul talks about the power of God that was working mightily in him. It reminds us of Philippians chapter 2 when Paul said, "Now, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure." God works in us as we obey in faith. God is at work in you if you will let Him work in you by living an obedient life to Him. So the question again is, are you complete? Or is there a hole in your heart? Is there a hole in your life? And where are you going to turn to fill that hole? What is it that you know, whatever that particular hole may be, understand and know God can fill it up. Christ can fill it up. That's what our study is about today. The world's not going to be able to fill it. Oh, the world's going to tell you it can fill it. The world's going to say it can fill it with money. It can fill it with fame. It can fill it with fun. I tell you, frankly, I am getting sick of hearing about Charlie Sheen. I'm getting sick of it. Winning. He's losing big time. That's the way? That's the model? No, that's no model at all. Corrupt. Degrading. Just destruction. There's no completeness in that. There's completeness in Jesus Christ. There's completeness through the gospel. But we're going to have to see, we've got to go to the right source this morning to fill up whatever is lacking in our lives. Whatever at this moment we are dealing with, struggling with, have to address, understand that in Jesus we're going to find completeness. Colossians 2:9 says, "In Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And John affirms that when John says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In every way, Jesus is complete. And therefore, in every way, Jesus can complete us if we will go to Him and live in Him. He's full of humanity. He knows what it means to live a life in the flesh. He's done it. He knows the trials. He knows the sorrows of the heart. He knows the joys of the moment, but He knows that life in the flesh cannot give ultimate joy. He knows what it means. So we can go to Him in time of need to find help. Hebrews 4:15-16. He's full of deity. He's complete God. Some of our brethren have been drawn away in trying to explain the humanity and deity of Jesus and drawn away into concepts that would suggest that in some way Jesus gave up part of His deity to become flesh. He didn't give up any deity. He didn't. His nature was not diminished one bit. He is complete. In Him is glory. He said, "We beheld His glory," John wrote. Full of grace and truth. Full. You need favor in your life today. You need divine help, God's help today. Jesus can give it to you. Grace and truth. You don't know which way you ought to go? His truth will tell you. He'll tell us. And that's where we have to go. Christians are filled up by the fullness of Jesus Christ. I want you to see that. In John 1:16, the apostle was able to say we received of His fullness. He says, "And all His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." It is the Christian. There shouldn't be an apostrophe there. It should simply say Christians are filled up by His fullness. Chuck, you can make that correction for me on the chart. We're filled up by Jesus. Do you think about Jesus that way? Really? Do you think, is your relationship with the Lord such that you know that if there's something lacking in you right now, you go to Him and you find in His truth, in His grace, in His glory, that which you need to fill you up? Or is Jesus really just something we think about? Is He just someone we think about a couple times a week? And when we leave the building, we don't give Him another thought. If that's the case, we on bended knees and penitent hearts need to repent before our God and see the fullness that Jesus gives us. He gives us complete revelation of the mind and will of God. John 1:18. He has manifested the Father to us. In Him are hidden all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. Colossians 2 and verse 3. You want to know what God knows and what God wants you to know? Through the Word of Jesus Christ that He has revealed. And He'll fill you up. Access to the Father? He only has it. He alone has it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You want to go to God today? Get acquainted with Jesus. Get acquainted with His grace, His truth, His glory, His revelation, and the peace that He gives us. Talk about this in class a little bit. John 14:23, Jesus says, "My peace I give unto you. Peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you." Earlier he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." You believe in God? Believe also in me. Is your heart troubled today? If it is, they urge you to go back to Jesus. And they urge you to find peace in Jesus that the world cannot give you. It will not give it to you. It will not satisfy. It will not fill you up. But Jesus, His grace, His truth, His glory, we can receive. And we can live in. And a blessing that reaches not only to this moment, but into eternity. Again, the idea of being filled up is to be full and liberally supplied. Filled up to the brim is the idea. I want you to see in Colossians 2:10, because after Paul says there by inspiration that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, he says, "And you are complete in Him." You are full in Him. The word that he uses here is plerao. Plerao. It's not teleos, which is the general common word for complete or perfect or finished. It's filled up. You're filled up in Jesus. You're brimful and running over. It's Jesus who supplies everything that you need. That's what He's telling us. And that's what we need to see when we talk about being complete in Christ. You know, the religious world talks a lot. The denominations talk a lot about being filled up with Jesus. But they haven't got a clue. Because they abandon truth. They have emotion, but they don't have truth. We need to combine truth with the joy of our faith. And being filled with Christ means that we're going to turn to Him and we see in Him the source and the answer. And so we live in salvation with Him. And that gets us to our first point here, is that in order to be complete, we must be in Christ. You will not be spiritually complete. You will not be full and filled up if you are not in Christ. Now, to note, the point is that He is, first of all, the source of being spiritually full. He's the source. Colossians 1:19, "It pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell." So all the fullness is in Christ. Dwells in Christ. If I'm not in Christ, then I don't have any of that fullness, do I? I cannot be made full. It's in Him. If I'm not in Him, I'm not full. I'm not filled up. I'm not completed in the things that have to do with my soul, its salvation, and living eternally with Him. And there are other passages. Hebrews talks about Jesus in this way. In none other is there salvation. You see, He's the source. Acts 4 and verse 12. No other name given among men wherein we must be saved. We're going to be filled up with salvation. It's going to be in Jesus. He's the source. I'm going to have to be in Him to have it. You're complete. Look, He said you're complete in Him.
Not you're complete without Him, or you're complete with something else. You're complete in Him. Our redemption is in Him. We studied some of this last week. Redeemed by His blood. Colossians 1 and verse 14.
In whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins. In Him. In whom? In Jesus.
Not out of Him. In Him. Peace with God is found in Christ. He is our peace. Ephesians 2, 14 through 18 to 16.
And Colossians 1 talks about the same principle. Verse 20, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him. Whether things on earth or things in heaven. Having made peace through the blood of His cross.
God has accomplished peace with sinners through the blood of the cross of Jesus.
If you want completeness spiritually,
if you want salvation, redemption, and peace with God, it's time to get in Christ.
You've got to be in Him, because if you're not in Him, you don't have deliverance. You don't have redemption. You're still an enemy in your sins, Colossians 1:21.
So, to be saved, you must be in Christ, and that's where the salvation is found, Acts 4 and verse 12.
Look, Colossians talks about putting off sin. If you want to be saved in Christ, you must put off sin. Put your sin away. Colossians 2:11. You know, no wonder there's so much lack of peace in people's hearts. Who on the one hand want to do what's right, they say they want to do God's will, but they just can't let go of sin. Unless and until we're willing to let go of the sin, put off the sin, we're going to have that internal struggle, you see? And Satan's going to be winning today. But he says here in Colossians 2:11, in Him, in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That is, here's a work that God has accomplished. It's not the putting off of the flesh of the skin. He says it's putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In Christ, there is a cutting away of sin. It begins with repentance. That is, if you believe He's the Son of God and are willing to confess it, the Bible says repent. Acts 2 and 38. It's changing our heart. Repentance is changing our heart about our sin against God. People don't find peace. People don't find salvation because there's an unwillingness to put off sin. Try to hide sin. Try to rationalize sin. Try to condone it. No, He says put it off. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. We need to convert our hearts. The conversion of Acts 3:19 is the baptism of Acts 2:38. It's the action of faith that's going to get us into that redemption. But look, that's what Jesus said in Matthew 28:18.
Baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Enter a relationship of salvation with Christ. Not by praying a prayer, sinner's prayer. You know, that's what the religious world, the denominations a lot of offer us. It's what they offer people who want peace, want salvation. Pray the sinner's prayer. Well, the Bible says, here's a sinner, pray for 3 days and you're still lost. Saul of Tarsus. And he was told, what are you waiting on? Arise and give up time to wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. You want to be saved, you abide in Christ, and coming into that relationship with Christ, it's not about praying a prayer. It's not about faith only. It's about faith that obeys. Buried with Him in baptism. Colossians 2:12. Wherein you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. You see, when you're baptized in water, it's an action of faith that you trust God is raising you out of your sin. He's raising you out of the death of your sin to give you life in Jesus. Did you understand that? Or did you just decide, I want to be baptized first, you know? It's just the thing to do when you get about 11, 12, 13. You're baptized and it's not really making changes. No, it's fundamental changes. It's conversion. I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I need deliverance. You can be filled up with salvation, but you're going to have to change your heart and life towards sin. That's repentance. And then you're going to act it. You've got ties in Christ, buried with Christ. You see, buried with Him, as we read in Colossians 2:12. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ.
So, if you want to be complete in Christ, it starts by becoming a Christian in God's way.
In faith, repenting, and being baptized into Christ. That's where every spiritual blessing is found, isn't it? In Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 3. In this relationship where there is redemption, where there is salvation, where there is peace with God. You see, now that being true, every other religion than that which Jesus has revealed in His gospel is futile.
The Colossians were warned, and we're introducing this study in our class. If you died with Christ, that's what happened when you were baptized into Christ. You died to sin, buried with Him in baptism, 2:12, raised with Him through faith in the working of God, in the power of God that raised Him from the dead. So now, He says, if that's the case, then why, though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Don't taste, don't touch, don't handle. Why are you submitting to men's forms of religion, which all concern things that perish with using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men? These things have indeed an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and negligence of the body, and neglect of the body. So there's no value against indulgence of the flesh. A lot of things men say you ought to be doing religiously sound good. I mean, they're dedicated to it. They're sincere about it. But they're the commands and doctrines of men. And that
we'll find every blessing in the religion of men, do we? We don't find any blessing there. We find all blessings here in Christ. So we lay the commandments of men aside. You see, you know, every other knowledge proves impotence when compared to the fullness of knowledge that's treasured up in Jesus Christ. You want to know how to
deal with the money in your life? Go to Jesus, because His Word is going to teach you. You want to know how to be a neighbor? Go to the Word of God. It's going to teach you. You want to know how to be a husband? Jesus will teach you. You want to know how to be a wife? He'll teach you. All the knowledge is there. You want to know how to stand against the devil's temptations? Go to Jesus. You're going to find the answer there. The fullness of knowledge and wisdom is in Him. You want to be filled up? Then go to the right place.
Every spiritual blessing and every other knowledge that men have to offer us falls flat. And it's impotent in the face of the power of truth. Every creed that man writes is superfluous, unneeded, unnecessary, and against a statement that inspires Scripture, fully equips us to every good work. You see, every other church, except the church that Jesus built, fails to possess the fullness of Christ. You see, that's
part of the message here of Ephesians and Colossians especially. Is Jesus said, I'll build my church, and He has built it. Ephesians 1 said, He put all things under His feet and gave Him the head over all things to the church, which is the fullness, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. The church is the fullness of the One who fills everything. Now, who fills everything? That's Jesus Christ. He's the head. He's the full. His church is the fullness of Him. How are you going to have any fullness from Jesus and not be in His body, His church?
Not possible. His church is the body of saved, those who are saved. So you see, any church that man builds, that man supports, that man propagates, it fails. It can't provide any of the blessings because fullness of Jesus is going to be obtained by His church, His body. That's where the fullness is found. Now go to Colossians 1 and verse 28 for a moment.
Preaching Christ equips us to be complete in Christ. So our completeness is in Christ, it's not outside of Christ. But it's the preaching of Christ that enables us to be complete in Christ. That's what Paul says, Him we preach. Verse 28. And that's important. You know that there's a lot of denominations today that have an environmental ministry. They preach about green energy and all those sorts of things. They preach all sorts of messages. You know, some preach the wealth and health gospels. God will make you rich. God will heal all your diseases. He'll take away all your cares and problems. All kinds of gospels preached out there. False ones. But it's about Jesus, preaching Christ is going to complete us. Why? Well, first of all, he says, because preaching Christ warns us. Warning every man, every person. When Paul preached to Felix and Drusilla, he preached him of self-control, righteousness, and judgment to come. Here were two sinners living in sin, separate from God. They needed a warning. Felix was terrified. He got the message. You're in sin, Felix. You're going to lose your soul. You're going to go to the devil's hell. You need to be warned. You need to repent and obey the gospel, but to put it off. Notwithstanding, it was the preaching of Christ that gave him God's warning, and it does the same thing today. We simply stripped the gospel of its power to warn when we fail to preach about sin and death and the punishment. You see, in the New Testament, they preached about sin. They preached about the wages of sin being death. Peter, in Acts 2nd chapter, with many other words, exhorted and testified, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. They then that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. They were warned. They were exhorted.
And 3,000 obeyed the gospel and escaped sin and death.
They had a remission of sins, you see. It does the same thing today. We just need preaching. We need to preach Christ. When we preach Christ, it's going to expose counterfeit gospels.
So we are an angel from heaven preach any gospel to you other than that which we preach. Let it be accursed, Paul said in Galatians 1:8.
And goes on to reiterate and emphasize in verse 9. When we preach Christ, we'll expose the false messages. But the true one stands in stark contrast. But we've got to have the faith to do the investigating. We've got to have the faith to accept the true and reject the false. You see, we've got to allow God's Word to have its power. We can preach Christ, but we've got to be willing to accept the true gospel that it sets before us. By preaching Christ, it warns us about falling away, doesn't it?
We preach Christ and we're warned. Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Any one of us, every one of us, are in danger. And we need to be careful, be cautious. We can fall and lose our souls. We can, Paul talked about the hope of heaven. The Colossians had heard of a hope which is laid up for you in heaven. That hope can be dashed. And that reward removed. We can be cheated out of it by the philosophies of men, by the false gospels of men, by thinking sin will not bring death. We fall away. We're warned. You see, we're warned about all these things if we will preach Christ.
Now, that's not what the world says is about preaching Christ, frankly. The world doesn't want to preach Christ that says there's some things out there that are false and counterfeit. The world doesn't preach of Christ that says you can fall away and lose your soul and go to hell. That's not the Christ the world preaches, but it's the Christ the apostles preach. It's the Christ that's revealed in Scripture to us in the Word of truth of the Gospel. That is the preaching that equips us to be complete in Christ.
Now, he also says, we're preaching in Him we preach, teaching every man in all wisdom. Warning and teaching in all wisdom. So there's the instruction. We need the wisdom and the knowledge that are in Jesus. Back up to chapter 1 with me, please, and verse 9. Paul says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, and strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." Oh, how we need that, all patience and long-suffering. We need strength. It's accomplished, he says, if we will increase in the knowledge of God and be fruitful, please God by walking worthy of Him. We've got to learn about Jesus. How committed am I? How committed are you?
Look, answer it yourself. How committed are you to learning really who Jesus is? And learning and knowing that He can fill your life
with the joy of salvation. That you can walk with Him every day. And He gives you the answers, and He gives you the direction, He gives you the guidance, He fills you up.
You see, that is what we all need. If we learn Jesus, that's what we'll attain. Because you do not have to learn Christ. You didn't learn Jesus to keep living in the darkness and depravity of sin, Ephesians 4:17-19. He said you didn't so learn Jesus if you heard Him and learned Him even as truth is in Jesus. He said when you heard about Jesus, he goes on to say, you learned about putting off the old man with his doings and being created anew in righteousness and holiness of truth.
Is that our lives? Are we being taught by Jesus to grow spiritually? You see, as therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in your faith. Colossians 2. It wasn't enough that the Colossians had been buried with Christ in baptism. He says, now I want you to be rooted and built up. Walk in Him, abounding in the things that you were taught with thanksgiving.
Add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control patience, and patience, brotherly kindness, love.
Add these things, these qualities to our faith to be fruitful, to be filled up, complete in Jesus.
See, it's about a whole lot more than knowing the right answers when the teacher asks a question during the Bible study. It's about learning a life to live,
a person to be, a faith to hold, a hope
that is secure, to press forward by preaching Jesus. If we stop preaching Jesus, we lose all these things. Because it's Him we preach, the apostle said,
to present every man, every person perfect in Christ. Back to that in just a moment. In Ephesians 3:19, he had written something very similar, the apostle had, and he said, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants us to be filled with all of His fullness. And Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is toward that end. You're complete in Christ.
Just a brief statement. We won't look at all of these very, very much more in depth. But look, you're complete in His church.
You're complete in His church. It's the one body. There's unity with God in His church. He's the head and the fullness of Him. Ephesians 1:23, Colossians 1:18 and 19. If you're not in His church, you're not in His body of saved, you're lost. You have no hope. Complete in Christ. Being in His church, we are filled up with every spiritual blessing. Filled up. You see, in Christ, we have a perfect law of liberty to guide us. James 1:25. A law of liberty that's complete. You see, a rule that sets us free in Christ. That teaches us, guides us, instructs us, guards us from sin, and helps us walk in righteousness. That's what the law of liberty does. Filled with the knowledge of truth. You see, there again, we come back, that was His whole prayer for the one. It's His prayer for us.
God's desire for us is that we be filled with that we be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Why? Well, let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly,
so that we bear fruit and please Him. Colossians 1:10.
So, how are we doing? How are you doing? See, we've got to ask ourselves, how am I doing? Am I being filled up with knowledge by walking in the perfect law of liberty so that I can bear fruit for God? Or is it all about me and what I want? No, you see, we've got to be complete in Jesus and bear the fruit He wants us. In Hebrews 7:18-19, the writer says that
we're complete in the new covenant. The old covenant made nothing complete. Didn't make anything complete. It says the law made nothing perfect on the one hand, or on the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. See,
the hope that's laid up for us in heaven is the inheritance that's found in the new covenants of Jesus Christ. We're complete in Him. We have an inheritance. Complete love of God is found in Christ.
Ephesians 3:17-19, we spoke of that a minute ago. He says that you can know the height and depth and width and breadth, that you may know the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. It's complete. God's love is complete in Christ, and you can be filled up with it and not separated from it.
Romans 8:29. In Christ. Not outside of it. In Christ. In Christ you're going to have forgiveness. He said he on the cross, that passage says that Jesus died making one offering, and by one offering He has perfected forevermore those who are being sanctified. Perfected forevermore, filled up with God's mercy. He says, I'll remember your sins no more. Where there's remission, God doesn't remember your sins anymore. It's in Jesus. That's His hand. You see, we are complete in Jesus. In every way, we are filled up in Christ in order that we may be complete in Christ. And this is where we blend those two words. Colossians 1 and verse 28. See, I said a while ago, plerao is the word for to be filled up. Colossians 2:10, you're filled up, complete in Him. Well, Colossians 1:28, He says, we warn every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, we preach in Him to accomplish this, that we may present every man perfect, every person complete in Christ, finished, teleos. Christ fills us up, and in the gospel we obtain these blessings in the Son so that we are complete, we are finished. And so He says, that's what this is all about, is Christ being in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. We talked about you being in Christ. Me being in Christ, and unless we're in Christ, we're not complete. But you see, if we're going to be in Christ, Christ has to be in us. Gospel puts Christ in us when we are willing to put ourselves in Christ. Are you filled up with Christ? Is Christ in you? And the idea there is, do you have this relationship of salvation with Him? The hope of glory. Our hope of glory is in Jesus, nothing else. only Him. But that's why we preach Him. The Word and truth of the Gospel. Jesus will fill you up. Whatever it is that is lacking, remember, He's the source. He's the one to turn to. He's the one that assures you, I will not never leave you, neither will I in any wise forsake you. So that with good courage we may say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Live for God. Live for Jesus. Obey His gospel now. If you're not a Christian, in faith repent. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. We urge that of you today. We want to help you accomplish your redemption in Christ Jesus so that Christ may be in you and you may have the hope of glory. As a Christian, if you have not been completing yourself in Him, if you've not been turning to Him, and you've sinned instead, then turn away from the sin, repent, confess it in prayer. He will forgive you. He will stand you upright before Him, cleansed by His blood. We want to help you accomplish that through faith in Jesus. While together we stand, while we sing. Let's come.